So that I will not have you ignorant. And it says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto this dumb idols, and as you were led, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand. Note that word, I give you to what? Understand. So the kind of ignorance he's speaking about is lack of understanding, where you can properly look through what you are being told and explain from every tangent. He says by the Spirit of that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. And they are diverse of gifts, but the same Spirit, the same Lord. And it says that the diverse operations were the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, you know, it says to profit without. Now, like I said last week, as we keep studying God's word, we get more light. You have a feeling that, okay, there's Spirit, and then there's Jesus, and then there's God. And there's no distinction like that in Christ. In Christ, there's one person. There's a personality represented, and that's the person of Christ. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is just a function of insight to understand the workings of this. Now, when you refer to the manifestation of the Spirit, notice something. I've explained this to you. Whenever you see verses string together, always look at the emphasis. For instance, when you read John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. And it says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now, you read from verse 6 to 8, the emphasis is the Spirit, born of the Spirit. So, in law of, Bible study, you will hold on to that emphasis. That emphasis readily explains what you mean by born again and born of the water. That is, born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. He says that over and over again. So the emphasis there is being born of the Spirit. The same rule or law applies in this instance. Here Jesus is, Paul is saying, look at where he mentions Spirit concerning spirituals. That word is the things of the Spirit. I will not have you ignorant. Verse 3, no man speaking by the Spirit of God. He says by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, the same Spirit. Now you see the same Lord in verse 5, the same God in verse 6. But verse 7 says the manifestation of what? The Spirit. Verse 8 says, given by the same Spirit. Verse 9, the same Spirit. Verse 10, it says, to another, the workings of miracles, and to another, say, all these worketh the one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So it's actually talking about the Spirit. And when you say the Spirit, you're talking about the Spirit of the reborn man. The Spirit of the man that is born again. That when that Spirit is in manifestation, as we see at salvation, you will see gifts, you will see operations, and you will see ministries. That's the fullness of the manifestation of the Spirit. And that's exactly what he's saying. You know, so the emphasis there is the Spirit. It says in verse 12, of 1 Corinthians verse 13, pardon me. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, and you have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So that's the emphasis. Spirit is referring to the Spirit of the new creation, the Spirit of Christ. That is the emphasis there. And the manifestation of the Spirit is the gifts, the ministries, and then the operations. Do you understand that? Now, the question is this, and I want you to see something. What can ignorance of these things constitute? What can happen? He says, I will not have you ignorant. What, assuming you don't know this, assuming you choose not to, or you lazily don't apply yourself to this truth. Now, what can this ignorance lead to? You know, sometimes we Jesus was saying something in Matthew 23, verse 23, that, you know, you tithe with the earnings and the cummings and you ignore the weightier matters of the law. And he spoke about mercy, judgment, faith, you know. And you begin to look at that. That means that when you look at the scriptures, there are weightier matters. There are some matters that are weighty. For instance, in Paul's teaching, he mentions wood put over to idols. And he says, look, there's nothing like an idol. However, the weighty matter there is not your knowledge of idols. The weighty matter there is love. That's a weighty matter. It's not the knowledge of idols. It's not whether you know an idol exists or not. Say, we know. 1 Corinthians 8:4-5. We know that there's no idol like that. But there's somebody that has this consciousness. He says, how do you relate with him? And he says, if you destroy somebody whom Christ has died for, he says you sin against Christ. So when you look at this, you say, how, what can this ignorance constitute? Obviously, that ignorance will constitute an action of yours that is inspired because you don't know. And you can never tell the extent of the expensive nature of ignorance. It can be very expensive. If you are here, for instance, and you have been, you know, you have been misled by somebody's prophecy before and all that, you know what I'm talking about. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14:2, let's see how ignorant ignorance can be. Paul says that he that speaks in tongues, he says, speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. In case you want to know what he's referring to, go to verse 16, verse 17, and you'll hear how, if you bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? He said, you do well, oh. What you have done is well, is perfect. But how shall the person who occupies the seat of the unlearned, how can he say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understands it not? So when a man does not understand something, he cannot receive from it. You read verse 22, 23, 24, and it speaks about when an unbeliever on the unlearned comes in and we all speak with tongues. He said, will he not say that you are mad? So his utterances will follow suit. He is likely to disregard holy things. He said, would you not say, I mean, somebody speaks in tongues, God, he speaks unto God, and somebody else says he's mad. So that ignorance will constitute sometimes an irreverent behavior. It will affect you. That's why you must take the knowledge of God's word seriously. And besides, now look up, guys, can you imagine if this guy does not know what we are saying? And you know, he just walks away. And there's a blessing of God for him. There's an instruction, you know, that's coming from God to him. He just walks away because he doesn't believe in what you're doing. So in the same way, when ignorance is like that, you may never tell how far, you know, that ignorance can lead a man. Look at the book of Daniel. That tells you how Daniel understood by the book that Israel ought to have been free. But there were people who wanted it. He said he understood by reading it. I said, something I just did, forget it. Solomon said, for his soul to do that, it's not good. So no man is more understand. So they'll say you are mad. Acts 2, for instance, some were mocking, some were astonished, some asked questions. And it's all based on ignorance of what was being uttered. So you may never be able to say the extent of what that ignorance can constitute. You know, ignorance can be so funny that something you laughed at yesterday, you will today revise. And the same, I mean, I can turn the table again, and something you used to revile yesterday, you now mock at it. Why? Because you know. That is why the end point, you see, you can never stop wanting to know as a child of God. That, the day you stop wanting to know, there's a problem. I'm saying know what you know and know it well. You won't be able to receive from it, like I rightly said. So we've looked at that, and we said that the gifts of the Spirit, which is part of the manifestation, which is involved in the manifestation of the Spirit, you know, has 9 divisions that we are safe to, you know, leave and, you know, let it be. We said there is the utterance gift, where we have the tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. We said there's the revelation gift, where we have the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernment of spirit. We said there is the power gift, where we have the gifts of healings, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of faith. And in this particular part of this teaching, we are looking at, you know, the revelation gift, don't forget, as touching Christian meetings. And we're just laying foundation. I believe from next week we begin to look at meetings. When we are in meetings like this, what can happen? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Notice that word revelations is in plural. Every time Paul talks about his revelation of God's word, it is never in plural. Every time he speaks about revelation of the word of God, it is never in plural. That shows you the exact nature of that. But whenever we speak about the gifts of the Spirit in this context, it is in plural. Let me see if you understand that very well. So always look at the difference, because we're going there. That was why I corrected you, okay, when he said revelation. It's revelation. Because if it's revelations, then it cannot be scripture. It cannot be scripture. Okay? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is about. Now, it says in verse 7 that he had abundance of revelations. He would never use that for his insight into God's word. He said abundance of revelations. And so we have seen that in the gifts of revelation, the key thing is that you know. In the gifts of utterance, you reveal. I mean, you speak. In the gifts of revelation, you know. In the gifts of power, you do something. So, now look at what I'm saying. You know. In that knowledge, for instance, unlike natural knowledge, where it is retained somewhere, and you come out, and you say, and I want you to think about what I'm going to say now. And you come out, and you say, maybe you are lecturing now. You can trace what you know to the fact that somebody told you, and somebody taught you. So you come out, and you say, but in the gift of revelation, it's not like that. It's you partaking in God's omniscience and omnipresence. His omniscience and his omnipresence. His omniscience refers to his all-knowing capabilities. He knows everything. When we say everything, I mean everything excluding nothing. There's something science cannot say, no matter your research, the heart of man. And the Bible tells you that when we speak by revelation, it says the secret of a man's heart, that's the deepest revelation of facts on the face of the earth. He said they are made manifest. So he's saying to you that what we actually partake of in the gifts of the Spirit is the omnipotence of God. Sorry, the omniscience of God. In the power gifts, we have the omnipotence of God. That is the all-powerful status of God. We partake in that attribute of Jehovah God. And the same thing, you know, can be said of revelation gift. We taste of that all-knowing essential attribute of God. It's omnipotent, it's omnipresent, and it's omniscient. Because how else can you sit down and speak of an event that will happen in 2,000 years when you have not lived up to 2,000 years? Look at your Bible very well. From the book of Genesis, prophecy was given as touching what Jesus will do. I mean, how else can you attribute that kind of knowledge? How else? And it happened exactly like that. Isaiah stood several hundreds of years before Jesus and he said, a virgin shall conceive and it shall bring forth. Up till how Jesus was learning. Up to so many things were spoken of in detail. That's sharing God's own. Only God is not in time. He doesn't know things. He does not know. You are the one that is knowing what he has. He doesn't know it, he has it. He has all the facts of the world and the world to come laid before him. So a man now participates in that attribute of God. Or how else would you know what happened several hundreds of years before you, Moses' case? Since it's documented that the book of Genesis was written by him, and he was told what happened before Adam, that is, before human intelligence was formed, what happened. And he saw it. That is sharing in the omni, because when you read about that, that is the word of knowledge. In the book of Genesis, book of Genesis, word of knowledge and discerning of spirit. There's no word of wisdom there except the things that were spoken by those people about things that will happen. So you see, the word of knowledge, the entire book of Genesis is the word of knowledge. I mean, that's a compact material showing you what had happened before you were there. So a word of knowledge is a knowledge that comes to you or comes from you that you did not acquire through the five physical senses. You did not acquire by imagination. It was given to you independent of any source. You knew it supernaturally. How else would you have been like Ananias? And then, you know, you were just somewhere, and God says to you, Jesus says to you, Acts 9:15-16, he says, go into the house of one Saul of Tarsus, for he behold a prayer. How would you know a prayer? And he says to Jesus, the only way you can know a prayer is for you to be there. And now, supernaturally, you are there. By the gift of word of knowledge, you are there. So the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, as it were, places you in a supernatural state where you are aware your physical body cannot get to. The physical body is in matter, and because in matter is conscripted in time, but the spirit of man is not so conscripted because of the spirit of God, which is in union with that spirit of man. So therefore, you can function like that. You are not there, but you are there. You get up and tell somebody, you left from VI about 4 o'clock. Now, your physical body, where you acquire information, your eyes, your ears, were not there. But you are there because you know. The difference, somebody who is there, and you are, the difference, you know, is just the fact that your physical body was not there. But the level of knowledge is the same, sometimes deeper. So that's what the word of knowledge is, and the word of wisdom, the revelation gives. You share in God's omnipresence, and you share in God's omniscience. That's what they give to you, to us. God's omnipresence and God's omniscience. The fact that we can come to that position and we see things as they are without being physically present. You're not physically present, but you see things as they are. You just said the same thing to those folks. He said, wait in Jerusalem for the voice of my father. And he says, as so number of days, you will, baptize with the Holy Ghost. That's not something you know, from gathering information. That's a fact revealed to you, by the omnipresence and omniscience of God. Now, last week we stopped at a point, and I said that there are levels of revelation. Now, let me stop and say this. When I said there are levels of revelation, I didn't say those levels are now determined by your level in the faith. I never said that. Each revelation is dependent on when and how it is needed. Each level of revelation in Scripture, it depends on when and how it is needed. Now, let me backtrack a bit before I go into what I want to talk about. If, for instance, you were under the Old Testament, that is the revelation that is needed then. It's not a function of spirituality or your efforts. Mm-mm. That is the level of what is needed at that point. Now, the same applies, in everyday living. Because some people come to a conclusion because we said visions and level and say, I know how what folks can think. I don't function in visions. I function in revelation knowledge. Or there. That's a stupid way of that means you heard what you wanted to hear. I didn't say that. Now, look at this. There are different levels of revelation. Don't forget, I gave a decision now that when you talk about the gifts of the Spirit, Paul uses revelation in plural. Okay? When you talk about the knowledge of God's Word, it's in singular. Because people believe that the angel of Satan was given to Paul, you know, because he had insight into God's word. So how many angels of Satan were given to Jesus since he was the word of God that became flesh? You know, that's not the point. Look at this. Let's take a cue from the Old Testament. Now we all know that the greatest prophet in the Old Testament is who? Be very specific. Don't judge John. Which John? John the baptizer with water. I think it's better we start saying that. John the water baptizer. Now, let's view John's experience. We only have a singular occurrence about John. Malachi chapter 4 had predicted John. Malachi chapter 4 had predicted John. Please go there. Malachi chapter 4. This is about John. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, Matthew 11, verse 14. Jesus said, this is the Elijah, verse 14, which was for to come. Okay? Why? Because he said in verse 9, what you went out to say, prophet, yea, I say unto you, I'm more than a prophet, but he of whom was written, verse 10, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare, you know, the way before me. Talking about John, Malachi 3:1. I'll send my messenger, prepare the way of the Lord, and it shall be like the voice crying in the wilderness. He says, prepare the way of the Lord. That's John the Baptist. So John, according to Jesus, is the greatest of all prophets. And when we say the greatest of all prophets, we're not talking about individuals, but we're talking about the revelation that they were exposed to. Matthew 11, again, Jesus said that, verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, that they are not born of women, is greater than he. Now, that deals with what? Eh? Like, with what? With what? Person's personality or revelation? Good. That deals with revelation, because prophets were known by revelation. Okay, let's look at John now. We see two materials. Matthew 3, and then John 1 itself. So he said it was the one that cries in the wilderness, Matthew 3:3, and he says to them, don't forget, we are particular about revelation now. Okay? I indeed baptize with water, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what do you call that? Is that a revelation? Huh? Good. Whose pan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with a quenchable fire. And so he saw Jesus, and then the discussion began. Now look at verse 16. And John, when he was baptized, went straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens, please notice this, opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And to a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So, very, very clear. John 1. John chapter 1. I'll just read what he saw again. Verse 32. I saw the Spirit descend upon him like a dove, and it abode upon him. So, he says, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now you can see that facts were given to him, facts were said to him. Now the point is this. Look up. I want to say something now, so that you understand. Look up, please. He said, now that description of like a dove is John. Again, how you receive is John. God never said, the one you see the Spirit descend upon like a dove. Did he ever say that? No. But John was, that was his own descriptive terminology, like as of a dove. Okay, just the same way Luke wrote Luke chapter 2. I mean, Acts 2. So, how did he know the Spirit came on Jesus? Huh? Did he see something? Did he see something? Huh? Did he see something? You're all quiet. What did he see? Look at it. You know what, man? You have knocked out doves. What did he see? Eh? He saw the Spirit. He didn't say, I saw. Did he see any image? Eh? Okay, good. Look up. So, he didn't see any image. Right? He saw what? So, did he see the Spirit? Yes. We have double mention, so it's clear. He saw the Spirit. So, how do you see the Spirit? Eh? The sign of Spirit. He saw the Spirit by the sign. If you discern something, you will see. What did he see? He didn't see dope. We cleared that. Right? He heard a voice. Yes. So, what did he see? Don't get lost now. Huh? That like as of a dove, like a dove. Who gave it? John. Where did that definition come from? His soul. Okay? That is his interpretation. Some of you will have seen donkey. It depends on what's on your mind. So what did he see? How do you know that the Spirit came on Jesus? Eh? You know, eh? Revelation. You have seen. You know, we said that revelation is self-explanatory. Right? Let me say something. If somebody who was born again was in that place, he would give a different description. Okay? So he saw the Spirit. So how do you see the Spirit? You see, this is the best of the OT, Abi. They were all born of women, Abi. Were they born of the Spirit? Eh? Okay, they were born of women, and this is what, you know, we have about them. Now, observe something. Jesus yet says something about this prophet. Matthew 13. I mean, we are clear that he saw Spirit. Then his mind saw something that was like a dove. Okay. Matthew 13 verse 17. Jesus begins to speak to people. And he says to them in verse 11, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and to them it is not given. So he now says in verse 16, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. For verily, let's take verse 17 together. Want to go? For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And in this point, there was no spirit coming upon anybody. Say, and I have not heard them. So, John, if you are so critical of John, like we have been, and you say John did not know that Jesus was the Christ, you are being unfair. You know why? If Isaiah was there, he would not have done as much as John. Because whatever John saw and said had nothing to do with his mind. Is somebody following? Huh? Had nothing to do with his mind. Whatever, this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's where you should know the difference between inspiration, information, inspiration, gifts of the Spirit, and revelation knowledge of God's Word. We normally mix them up. Let's look at, that's the Old Testament. So he saw something, he heard something, yet in Matthew 11, he called Jesus to a question and said, are you the Christ, or should we look for another? I'm telling you, that is the best of the Old Testament. That's the best. Are you the Christ, or should we look for another? I mean, look at, in case you want to doubt, you are getting confused. Look at Acts 10. This one, Peter knew what happened. God showed him something. The Spirit spoke to him. What happened, Cornelius? And everybody still stuck to their guns and stuck with Jews. I mean, you know, it was after that scenario that he went to Antioch and he was still doing hypocrisy. And Paul called him to question. This is it. So, it's a function of his mindset. And that's what I said. You have to look at that. The function of his mindset. So, see this. Now, let's have a look at Paul's revelation. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him there is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Let us read 26 together. And now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for thee. Look at this. Look up. The prophets spoke by revelation. Right? And what they said was hidden from them. Paul is saying that this is now made manifest to us by revelation of the same scriptures. Can you see the levels? Can you see the levels now? The prophets got their own by what? The church got theirs by what? Revelation knowledge. That's the explanation of the revelation. Ephesians 3. I'll read from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, for if you have heard of the presence of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, what? How that the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Please notice that the word mystery here is where? Is in what? Is in singular. The mystery. As I wrote up for in few words. Okay? Whereby when you read, please observe, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy prophets and apostles, apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So when you read, you will understand. Now, look again at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'll take it from verse 25. Whereof I made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. Even the mystery which had been hidden, okay, from ages and from generations, but is now made known to, to his saints. So again, look at that. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter now explains how he views Paul. 2 Peter 3:15, an account that the Lord, long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, who according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things, what? Hard to be understood. So, the level of revelation knowledge is level of what? Understanding. Hard to be understood. He didn't say impossible. Don't misquote Peter. He only said hard to be understood. So when we talk about the revelation of Paul, we are not referring to visions. Is that clear? We're not referring to visions. We're referring to insight into the scriptures. Not to visions. We're not referring to the word of knowledge. As it were. Because we're going to bring in the word of knowledge later on in revelation knowledge. So don't throw the word of knowledge yet. So that's the revelation of Paul. When you talk about, he's not talking about a revelation besides the scriptures, it's a revelation of the scriptures. Acts 20:22. So, the highest point, you know, of revelation is revelation itself. Revelation knowledge. Now, another diversity of revelation is, look at Acts 20:22. Something clear about revelation knowledge is that you will understand. Your eyes of understanding being enlightened, you will know what is the hope of his calling. You will understand. When you read, you will understand. That's revelation knowledge. Now, Acts 20, verse 22. Now, this is Paul saying to them, he said, look, I'm going now to Jerusalem. Okay? He says, verse 22, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. The word bound in the Spirit is compelled in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. He is compelled to go. He knows he should go. Yet he does not know the things. This is a clear distinction. He does not know the things. When you mention things, then you are referring to the gifts of the Spirit. He does not know the things. Except, verse 23, the Holy Ghost witness in every city saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. So 23 will be gifts of the Spirit. 22 is not gifts of the Spirit. Is the witness of the Spirit. Now look at Acts 27. Now the bonds and afflictions that awaited him say nothing. If anything, if you don't have understanding, it will scare you from going to Jerusalem. But yet he went. Look at Acts 27. In certain instance, I'll just go over that. When he said, I perceive that there shall be loss of lives and all that are leading. Acts 27. So that's what he perceived. Verse 10. But much later, he now said, an angel of the Lord myself stood by me. Verse 23. And said, we will only lose the things in the vessel, but not the people. Second Corinthians 12, you know, verse 1 and then verse 7, the abundance of revelations, okay, that Paul had, we have seen one here now, we have seen another one. He had diverse revelations. In Acts 18, for instance, he saw Jesus. And Jesus just told him, don't leave Corinth. I have much people in this city. Don't be afraid. Speak Acts 18, verse 8, verse 9. I have much people in this city. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul acknowledged that in his writing by saying, Jesus appeared to everybody and eventually he appeared to me. You know, he says, he was seen of me, verse 8, Acts 15, 1 Corinthians 15, as the one born out of due time. So he says that Jesus appeared to him, he saw Jesus. Of course, that again shows you that revelation. He appeared to everybody and he appeared to him. Are we together? So always know the difference. Now, listen well to this. Revelation knowledge, therefore, deals with words. The highest communication to the human spirit is via words, not symbols. The highest communication of the human spirit is via words, not symbols. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, and then to verse 11, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, it is written, I have not seen nor hear, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things which God had revealed or prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Of course, you are referring to the spirit of a born-again man. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. It says we have the spirit of God, and we know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's why knowledge from that point, from the point of salvation, knowledge is for the mind. That's why 1 John 2:20 says you have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. And that's again sharing in the omnipotence of God. So the aspect, the omnipresence of God and the omniscience of God, the aspect of the gifts of the Spirit is a limited part of that sharing because it deals with facts and things. But you see, when you look at revelation knowledge, it says the eyes of the being enlightened, you will know. That refers to your mind. 1 John 2:27 says, it says the knowledge that Jesus abides in you, you need not any man teach you. So what happens in church is we are educating your mind. We are educating your mind. That's what's going on in this meeting right now. It's nothing. If we have to still relate with your spirit, that is salvation. It's a salvation that we know the things that are freely given to us of God. That happens when a man has the spirit of God, not the spirit which is of this world. Let me see if you understand that clearly. Do you understand that? Now, from that point, just like Paul said to Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. 2 Timothy 3 and 15. So you are now acquainted with the Scriptures. Look at a classic example. In Matthew 17, for instance, Peter was there on the mount, and he saw Jesus, of course, transfigured in white. He saw Elijah. He saw Moses. And beyond that, he now heard a voice that says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Now, look at the example he now gave. I mean, so the explanation to that. 2 Peter again, chapter 1. Verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when he came with a voice, such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." Now look at unbelievers. I mean, they heard it. We saw the case of, is it John 13 that we read? Is it John 12 or 13? That everybody there heard the thunder. They heard something. And we have also a much word of prophecy. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any part of the scripture." It places what? The scriptures ahead. So you will do well to grow in the light of God's word. You will do well. So it places emphasis on the scriptures. Let me say something else. Look at this fact. That this Bible, from Genesis to Malachi, were the documented writings and utterances of men who saw things and said things by the Spirit. And Paul had told you earlier that these things were hidden from them. I mean, what they were saying and they were writing was hidden from them. Does it mean that they did not have common sense? They had common sense, but it was hidden from them. So, 1 Peter chapter 1 says exactly this in another light. He says, "Look, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently," 1 Peter 1:10, "who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." So the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow were spoken of from the Old Testament. But Jesus sat down with the disciples in Luke 24:45, and he showed them through all the scriptures the things concerning himself. All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So, revelation knowledge is about what? A person. Jesus. Revelations are about what? Persons and things. Do you understand that? That is why it is the highest. Let me see if you understand that clearly. Just very few. It's about a person. That's why Paul will say the revelation of a person. The mystery of Christ, which was hid. The same thing was said here. Unto whom, look at 13. Unto whom it was revealed. Now, two things are said here. So, number one, they spoke. Now, it says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. So, this revelation and the utterances were done by them, but were never understood by them. They will excel when it comes to people. They will excel when it comes to events. They will excel. I mean, Elijah will excel speaking to Ahab. Elisha will excel speaking to the widow. You know, they will excel. But when it comes to Christ, we shall know. They will speak, they will say everything, but the knowledge will not come to them. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that believe Him. The same thing Paul said. He says, this mystery I have written to you in few words that you may read and understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So the mystery really relates with the mind. The opening up of this revelation to the mind of man. Don't forget the eyes, ears, and the heart. And they come to us now because we have the Spirit that we may know. We have received the Spirit of God that we may know. That knowing is where? Is in the mind of man. That knowing is in the mind of man. Let me give you a simple parable using tongues. Tongues in 1 Corinthians 14:2, you speak mysteries. Don't forget, mysteries, not the mystery. You speak mysteries unto God. He says, no man understands. No man understands. Albeit in the spirit. Okay? So, look up now. As you are speaking in tongues, except somebody is deaf, he will hear you. He will see, you know, it's not that he doesn't hear you, but he just cannot interpret what you are saying. And so he has his own, you know, way of calling it. Well, this guy is either mad, he's speaking gibberish, you know, and so on and so forth. But when there's interpretation, then he understands. That is, when you put it in a human form, human language, then he understands. But it has been spoken. So the same way, these things were said by people, they were even revealed by people, but was not known. I can say completely that if Isaiah was in the time of Jesus, he would have done what John did. Because most of them accrued that prophecy to somebody else. So even when John saw Jesus like this and he said, this is the Lamb of God, that is inspiration. By the time he began to minister, it was now the information in his mind, which he will get by what? The scriptures. That's why I said, are you the Christ or should we look for another? Where would he get the Christ from? From the scriptures. Should we look for another? Because his eyes could not see. His mind could not conceive. Never forget, I told you that the eyes, the heart, and the mind are where you do what? Receive information. The mouth is where you reveal things. But you know his mouth has spoken it. But his heart could not conceive. His mind could not see it. His ears could not hear it. And you know, his eyes could not see it. Yet his mouth said it. The things that the eyes could not see, the heart could not conceive, and the ears could not hear were spoken by the same people. His mouth said it. And it was written down. So revelation knowledge of Jesus, which is the scriptures, or are the scriptures, is the highest point of revelation. And it's a revelation, the revelation of the person of Jesus. Now, like I said, I decided to go to an extreme and say, well, so the point is for me to just know the scriptures. Well, if you know the scriptures very well, you will appreciate visions and revelations. Because they are written in the scriptures as inspired by God and of God. And I said it here, I said, visions and revelations will always come in handy when you talk about direction. Direction refers to how we live our lives. Now, in direction, some things come to play. A Christian needing or living by direction will first and foremost live by the direction of the scriptures. They will read and understand. Secondly, he will live by the direction in his spirit. I've not spoken about peace now. I have peace in one area. It's unfortunate that people are trying to interpret peace. Peace means that everything is calm, you know, in your mind. Depends on what you eat. You have peace, you know, not that. The witness of the spirit, you will not, it will come to you. Like we explained many times, to get at this, you know, that. The third, which is key in direction, is the knowledge of facts, people, and places. These three are combined in leading and direction. The scriptures, the inward witness, then your knowledge of facts, people, and figures. Jesus did not say, there was no scripture written that said, and Judas shall be the one to betray you, but it was written. But Jesus was pointed out to him. There are times Jesus will answer questions that people will ask. There are times he would, you know, but there's a particular instance that the Bible says that knowing what was in the heart of men, they were actually discussing, it wasn't there, it wasn't beside them, and he told them what they were raising in their heart. That was shown to him. And that's part of guidance. The scriptures you know, the witness of the spirit you have, and the revelation that you have. So everything coupled together brings leading, the leading of the Spirit. Now look at Paul. Paul knew to go to Jerusalem from his spirit. He knew to go to Jerusalem from his spirit. Now, do you know something? Acts 20:22 said, I'm compelled to go. In Acts 21, disciples told him not to go because they spoke through the Spirit. The seven daughters of Philip said the same thing. Then Agabus told him that, you know, he'll be captured and then persecuted. Well, listen to what I'm going to say now. Do you know this? Look up. Hear this very well. You actually don't need the word of knowledge, okay, to know that you will be persecuted as a minister. Jesus expressly said it. In this world, there are tribulations and trials. Just read the Bible and you will see it. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul says that he that will live godly in this world must suffer persecution. But you know something? It's also good to have details. Some of you agree with me. It's good to have details. Peter knew, for instance, that he was going to die a kind of death and that he would not predict. That I am in your own desire. And he had a choice. Why do you think we are giving those facts? It is to have a choice. You need to know. Paul said, I heard that bonds and affliction. You know, there are different things. When they say there's persecution, it could just be Oreno and Wenyo. He's a useless guy. He's a stupid guy. Just see. But when they say bonds and afflictions, when they say the kind of death that you will carry yourself, you now decide, look, I want to chase my degree, PhD in pharmacology. That's a choice. So when you know, when the word of knowledge reveals things to you, is to make a choice. It is not leading in itself. Are we together? Is not leading. The leading is what God wants you to do. I was compelled in my spirit. And in compelling you to do it, he now says to you, I'm compelling you to go to jail. I'm compelling you to be beaten with 49 stripes. And you can now say, Lord, I'm compelling you to leave me alone. At that point, you have made your choice. So they come in handy. So don't say, I'm just led in the spirit. I know the scriptures. I don't have facts. It's not good to find out facts by accident. but he found out. So, visions and revelations come in handy. They eventually will help you. Praise God. They eventually will help you. Let me ask a question. I think I've answered it. Did Jesus walk with facts revealed to you? Did he need to have facts revealed? Or he just knew? He just knew. Were facts brought to his attention? That's something you think about. So, let's run. Renewing the mind is a target for leading. The essence for knowledge is leading. While you are taught, revelation is for you to know what to do. While you are taught in school, for instance, when you are taught, hey, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, especially you're an able man. So that when you have two things, you know, just for to be able to live life normally, it will help you carry out activities amongst people. That's why when you see somebody who is an illiterate, and he comes to Lagos, and then he says, tell him, well, hello, what's your name? Tell me, I'm Ukala, I came from the objection. I said, when did you arrive in Lagos? Yeah, I came last night. Have you been looking at the bridge? He said, yes. How many have you seen? 23. So how much do you have on you? Ah, the guy said, that's 5K. Ah, so you are weighing Lagos 18,000. So 1,000 per bridge. You know why? He has not been told. So the essence for revelation is so that you can be aware of some things and they can guide you. So the revelation gifts are there to guide you. Are we together? Now, notice this. When you see a vision, because you will see a vision. Is it possible for somebody to be a Christian and live and die and have no vision? I can't answer that question. But when you see a vision, what exactly is happening? Some people think that when I see a vision, God is showing my spirit something. Abba, no. It is your spirit showing your mind. You understand that? It is what? Your spirit showing a movie to your mind. Your spirit is not taught. Your spirit is not explained to. Your spirit does not learn. Your spirit is not shocked. Your spirit is not aware. All the things, the emotions you seem to get from your spirit in leading are the reception of your spirit's guidance in your mind. I've explained that to you in How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. Because your spirit knows. So what is happening is that your spirit is showing your mind. What happened to Peter was that the spirit of Peter was showing his mind. That was why Peter wondered in his mind. What did he see? It's not Peter's spirit that is wondering. There is no born again. It is your spirit showing your mind. So the word of knowledge is the word of knowledge from your spirit to your mind. Is the word of the knowledge of your spirit to your mind. The word of knowledge is the word of knowledge from your spirit to your mind. Your spirit is not the one that is coming to know. It's your mind that is coming to know. I'll go back to tongues again. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. But what? My understanding is unfruitful. Albeit, I'll pray with the spirit, I'll pray with the understanding. So it's not your spirit that does not know what it is saying. Okay? Are we together? So the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, the sign of spirit, is your spirit discerning spirit to the mind. Making your mind aware. That's why somebody who is dead cannot see a vision. Praise God. Praise God. That's why we're sure that Paul was where? In the body. Hallelujah. When you are in heaven, it's not a vision. It's the vision. You see, when your mind functioning in the physical body, just like somebody who is mentally insane, if he's seeing a vision, it's part of the demonic activity to keep him bound. So, it's your spirit unveiling. So when you say the gifts of the spirit, they are the gifts of the spirit to the mind. They are of the spirit. They are from the spirit. It's the working of God in the spirit of a man that is born again. It's not God doing something to your spirit. It's rather your spirit doing something to your mind. Look at Revelation, for instance. Revelation 1, 2, 3. Jesus said, I stand at the door. In Revelation 5 and 6, look at Revelation 5 also, it spoke about the fact that they were made kings and priests in the earth. You will see all that in the epistles. There's nothing that was said there that was not in the epistles. But at the same time, it was spoken. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now, verse 1, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. It says, some shall depart. He said, the Spirit speaks expressly. That word is clearly. Now, if you observe what he said, he spoke about forbidding to marry. Facts. You will see this in any scripture. Forbidding to marry, and so on and so forth. You read them. Conscience are set with hot iron, they are hypocrites. This is revelation of things. The book of Revelation, for instance, is also a revelation of things. The revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave unto him, talking about John, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. So there are things that will surely come or shortly come to pass. So just the same way, 1 Timothy 4, 1 are things that will happen. And they are still valid today in the work of ministry. Let us run to this, because we'll look at it more next week. Visions in ministry. I want to ask some questions. You know, I was saying that, you know, leading is a combination of all the things we have said. Look up. Look up now. If, for instance, I want to ask a question. If, for instance, if you were Ananias, what would ever make you go to the house of Saul? Insight into God's word? Boldness? Spirit conco? Bro, you had to hear somebody tell you. You had to see. Even in sin, Ananias said, but Lord, I flow. What channel are you watching? This guy, he kills. He can't kill you. You are there. We are here. Do you understand? You wouldn't have done any better. You will need those facts told you. I have appeared to him. I have seen this. You have. Lord, you left him. I thought you appeared to him and kill him. He said, no. It's going to be a chosen vessel. In Acts 18, would you have stayed in Corinth? You would have. But I'm very sure that in the morning, you'll have been reading things about David that encouraged himself with the Lord. You'll have been saying things like, well, people who never believe the gospel, they are not the elect. But Jesus had to appear to Paul and say, look, Don't be afraid. That Jesus wasn't just dropping words. That means he was what? Eh? See, when I pause you, why can he be afraid? Have you heard about Timothy? He said, God has not given you the spirit of fear. That means the guy was timid. You will always need visions. You see, we are all carnal. Amen. You don't know you are carnal. You just need something to show you that, look, God is there. You are a human being. Do you know God spoke to Jesus? Do you know Jesus said, if this cup can pass over me, he was human. He didn't commit sin by being human. He didn't commit sin. Jesus just said, ministry is so tough. You go to that place, you teach all the doctrine, they are burning your CDs, burning your poster. Let's be frank, when you are alone in the room, you wish God just sent you to one of these places where they meet in 8.5 billion naira auditorium. He said, God, the word is it. Just let me teach in that place. I will bring glory to your name. As you're about to sleep, he just shows up at night. And he says, my son, I'm with you. I'm glad you are doing this work. Do you know that the next day people that come to your fellowship are just three, you'll be happy? Abi? Because I called that to tell someone. Because when he got to Corinth, it was only somebody's house that they were. This is a man who moved cities. Now, someone's house. It was just one person's house. And the guy is just accepting his game. See, is that all about this city? It was so tough. Because the city was full of all sorts, licentious. Even after salvation and all that, somebody was here with his father's wife and nobody was saying anything in the church. Also, look at the letter I wrote to Corinthian church. Two different letters. Two. For the Thessalonian church, was talking about how to persevere. For the Corinthian church, stay in the faith. Why wouldn't he need Jesus to say, I am with you. Don't be afraid. You speak my word. Hallelujah. So visions help in me. We'll see that next week about visions in ministry. Let me ask you. In Acts 27, would you also have needed an angel of the Lord? How many times have you missed that perception? And you bear like Bebeto. How many times? See, God is very merciful. And yes, you sense it so much. You sense it. That's the way. And he had to come in the dream. You know, the dream is the highest point of the lowest point of revelation. Now you are dead. He now comes. So I mean dead. Your mind that used to walk like Oyinbo Bridge is dead. He now says, hey. You are going to believe very easily because you were dead. Emotionally. He says, don't do it though. All of a sudden, you see somebody you want to marry. And the guy is cutlass chasing you. What's going on? You wake up. I just know that it will kill you. Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Do you understand? But you know, in your spirit, you thought it was the right thing. You know, we have a way, what may have a way of overcoming inward weakness with confession. I am what the word says I am. I know what to do. You already know what to do, really. You know where to do it, you know how to do it. It's a function of the agbari you have. I know what to do. You are set your mind that you are going to sell kola nut. So in your confession, that direction is from you to you. I know what to do. I know where to do. So when a vision will just happen, or a revelation in church, when you dream again and you still refuse, some of us are stubborn. Then in church, a man of God says, that brother, you know, the Bible says, when a person offends you, you first go to him. Then go to two or three. Then you now say it in the church. After the church, you treat him like what? A sinner. And a... So that one in church is a final straw. Sister, there is somebody here You know what? And the pastor see you, think they can't give you what knowledge. You can get to. Some of us are stubborn. Yes, we are stubborn. We are just stubborn. It's a work of the devil, but we are also devilish. I say, I'll do it. I say, hey, I just say, somebody just speaking. Sometimes you can be just somebody like, if God really wants to humble you, you'll be one new convert. And he said, ah, it's just sense that there's somebody who's trying to take a decision, business and all that. And then you say, this one. Then the guy is bold, he just say, Pastor Lan, I think God is talking to you. I say, have you listened to all the led by the Spirit? And he knows inside that they are talking to him. That's the last straw. God will get to you with everything. See how we go to Paul. You know when the storm started, you know what wanted to happen? Because of what Paul said, that everybody would die. He said, let's jump into the water. Because he made a mistake. That angel had to come, or else he will go to Caesar. That's it. So you see, revelation will come to you on different angles. In ministry, I can tell you, we'll look at it next week, you will need revelation. You will need, oh. You know, there was a time Paul was going somewhere, going to all the world. You know, if you're a word man, you're saying, no. The word will grow anywhere. And even when you have that impression in your spirit, you're saying, ask and thou give the nations to you, O Lord. You know, word man, you just say something. I said it. I'll be there. The word will go. So, they'll say, don't the word and prevail. As Paul was going, he was still sharing in the boss. A being appeared to him. Don't go. He said, I saw a vision. Say, you go here. Go to this place instead. Said the Spirit forbade them not to go to Asia. The same Asia he was sent to. You see that Paul was not praying in tongues? He was just a human being. You see that and he just come. Praise God. A preacher said one time, Jesus took plans. He said, we all have feats of carnality. And you'll be doing the Lord's work, and you'll just be stubborn. Sometimes, you know, you are just lazy in some areas, and you are not exactly so receptive to the leading of the Spirit of God. So those things will now come to you very loud and clear. I've had that instance before. Well, if you want to preach in one country years back, and I was going, and everybody will give me word, and thou shalt go. And I see this, and I see that, and I see this, and I see that. You know, that the airport that I heard it loud and clear. What are you doing here? Now, when is God is talking to you, you know it's God. The other people just want me to go, and maybe give them doors to come and preach later. I'll be the forerunner of that country. You just know. What are you doing here? All those prophecies. A friend of mine was traveling out of the country. I knew why he was traveling, but I kept it secret to myself. So when everybody was coming around to give him all the prophecy, come and see all manner. People are emotional, though. And I see, as you go, they said he was going to win the president of the country. But somebody just came in. Somebody who didn't have any detail. And he called him privately. And he told him the counsel of the Lord. May our lives not be missing with such people in Jesus' name. You see, you have people that are just like party people. They go. Have you ever seen people in wrong relationships? Go and ask them the numerous prophecies they got. And I see you as Adam. She's Eve. That's a bad one. Adam and Eve were not a good marriage. They conspired to do evil. Don't ever let anybody call you anybody's Eve. Don't be anybody's Adam. So, really, you know, God will help you out. And that is why it is proper to desire things of the Spirit. Desire visions. Tell your neighbor, say desire visions. You can desire tongues and interpretation. You can desire word of knowledge. Why can't I desire visions? I can desire the sign of spirits. I'm such a cross crossroad, I just pray in tongues. Father, I desire you. Show me things. Show me. And he will show you. He will show you things. He will show you things clearly. And you will see people. You will see what they are doing. You know? You will see. Praise God. I'll just start closing now. You know, the Genesis account, just take note of this. Do you know that the most difficult part of the book of Genesis was chapter 1 to chapter 3? The easiest was from chapter 4 to chapter 50. Chapter 1 to chapter 3 had parabolic meanings. Tree of life. Knowledge of good and evil. Serpents. Tree of life. Knowledge of good and evil. Serpents. Let there be light. Without form and void. So, the most significant events are always coded. Praise God. Think about that. Words, facts, and figures form leading. Words with meaning and description form the revelation of what we have in Christ. Let me close now. So, in Acts 10, Peter saw, but needed the meaning. He needed the meaning. So even at this, at, you know, getting involved in visions, the knowledge of the scriptures are very key. I'll give you my personal, experience. Years back, going to 2 decades now, I had a clear-cut vision of the Lord. I've had a few. And so clear and very clear. I had one a couple of months before then that was a bit strange. You know, I was praying early in the morning, it was a Saturday. And in almost 6 hours, in a trance, I saw certain events that are playing out now gradually. But like a day by was years back, I thought that, okay, this was what he meant. Remember, I told a brother of mine, he told me this and this and this and that. And I related to him. He told me what to do. And I said, okay. The second one happened like that. I gave the interpretation of what it meant. And I just went ahead and, you know, I remember I renamed our ministry then. That was 94. And I said, lighting the world. If you look at the motto, you will know I was a confused person. Really. Confucianists will have a lesson to learn from me. And I said, I mentioned the name of the fellowship. I said, releasing potentials by lighting the world, by the light of the world to reach the world. It was because of a vision that I saw. As I speak to you, I'm still understanding it because I'm growing gradually and gradually. We'll get there. You know, I made a mistake years later and I tried to tell some people this. And I did. I think I'm getting a bit spooky. I don't want to. That's why I'm smiling. And I told some folks, I said, this was what I saw at the beginning of this particular aspect of my ministry. And I told them. Everybody prayed. And then, a few hours later, Lord asked me, do you know what you were talking about? I said, I didn't. He said, for your sake, I'll blot it out of their memories. Do you know that if I call the same people today, and I tell them, what did I tell you? Nobody can remember. The third person I told the same thing was my wife. We're not married. I told her, they were speaking that night when in the hall. As I began to try to say it, what I saw, you know something? A thick cloud just formed between the two of us. She couldn't hear me again. For almost 1 hour. She was just there. She didn't hear anything I said. She said, I told you, say nothing to anybody. Some things are like that. The people I called, they were about 11. I called them back to test what God told me. And I asked them. And I said, no, you just spoke about how we're going to do this meeting, do that meeting. They forgot that part of it. And I spoke for almost 30 minutes. It took it out of their minds for my sake. You know why? I had zeroed in what I told them. Did you get none out of that? God bless you. Stand to your feet. Give God praise.